Well, it's so good to be here in the house of God today. As we get ready for God's Word, I want to read to you this scripture. In John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, I'm going to read two scriptures this morning. As I read this passage, it hit me hard. Have you ever been hit so hard by God that you thank Him for it? Well, that's what happened here. So today, I get to hit you. Because God hit me first. John chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says, "To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, 'If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free.'" We read verse 32 again. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many of you need some freedom this morning? The truth will set you free. But they answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. So if," notice that big if "the son has set you free, you will be free indeed." This is a powerful verse that I never understood until the Lord revealed something to me. Jesus said, "You will be free," and then He says it again differently, "You will be free indeed." And I want to ask you this profound question to start this message. Are you free? Some of you say, "Yes, Pastor, I'm free. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. I know that I am free." But what I really want to ask you this morning, it's not just, are you free, but are you free indeed? Huge difference to be free and to be free indeed. Now let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And I want you to see this in this passage as Jesus was speaking here in Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight for the blind and to release the oppressed." Now, when I began to read this scripture, I understood all of it except one thing. I understand when Jesus said, "I've come to preach." Yes, Jesus came to preach the Word of God. Jesus also said, "I've come to preach. I've come to set the captive free." And I understand that. He said, "I've come to open up eyes, to restore the sight, to open people's eyes. And I have come," this is a confusing part, Jesus said, "I have come to release the oppressed." And I thought the Word of God is what brought you freedom. But according to Jesus, it's not just preaching the Word that's going to set you free, because a lot of you can hear me preach and still be in bondage. It's not just proclaiming freedom that's going to set you free, because I proclaim the freedom of Jesus Christ every Sunday to you and you can still be in bondage. It's not that opening your eyes is going to set you free, because a lot of us have been revealed and God has opened up our eyes to things and we're still in bondage. So why is it that Jesus said, "I've also come to release the oppressed"? And here's why. Because right after Jesus said, "I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." How many of you want the favor of God in your life?
You don't sound like it. How many of you desperately want the favor of God in your life? The favor of God simply means when God's attention is on you and God blesses you and protects you. We all want the favor of God. But notice what Jesus said here. You cannot receive the favor of God until you have been released from oppression. So then it made sense to me. So many people in church are in bondage, even though they hear the word that's preached, even though they hear the word that's proclaimed, even though their eyes have been opened, because they are still living under oppression. Oppression is what keeps you from the life that Jesus Christ died for you to have. Oppression is what stops the work of God in your life. Oppression is what keeps you in bondage. Oppression is what hinders you from experiencing the true favor of God. This is why Jesus said, I've come to do all of this. I want to set the oppressed free. Are you in bondage this morning? Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that this message will be the truth that sets them free. For your word declares that we can be your children and still in bondage. So use me now to preach your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, in John 8, he says, he's talking to the Jews that believed him. He's talking to people that surrendered to him. He's talking to people that recognized Jesus to be the Savior, people that chose to follow him. He's talking to believers. And yet he's talking to them about being in bondage. Is it possible that you can be a child of God and still live in bondage? Is it possible that you can be a Bible-believing Christian, following Jesus, have surrendered your life to Him, and still be in bondage? Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, if Jesus says the truth sets you free, then it makes sense that lies give us bondage. If truth gives us freedom, then lies places you in bondage. This is why it makes perfect sense when Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies. He is the supreme father of lies, because Satan knows that if he can oppress you with lies, if he can convince you and turn a lie into a truth, and you believe the lies of the enemy, he knows that ultimately it will put you in a state of bondage, even though you're a child of God. This is why in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were on this earth, Satan cast doubt and lies into Adam and Eve, because he knew even though they were the children of God, he can stop the work of God from being displayed in their life. Satan wants to put you in bondage. Satan wants to prevent you from experiencing the freedom that Christ wants you to have. So many people in the church today, even though you're saved, even though you believe in Christ, even though you're walking with God, you can still be a slave. You can still be in bondage. You can still not be experiencing the true, complete freedom of Jesus Christ. All because you are believing a lie. It's that simple. Satan will cast a doubt into your mind. Satan will cast fear into your mind, question into your mind, and deceive you in your mind. And just because you're a child of God does not mean that you are free indeed. Are you getting this morning? Because you don't understand. You know, you think you sit there in your comfortable chairs, right? You have no idea how me and Satan have a conversation every Sunday morning on this platform. As I'm preaching to you, I constantly hear thoughts. They're not listening. They're not going to change. You're wasting your time. Like clockwork, I'm listening to it right now. There are some mornings I'm like, what's the point, God? But I realize that I'm listening to a lie. A lie that wants to stop what God is doing in your life. It's amazing how one lie can rob you of joy and peace. Let me illustrate this to you. When I was younger, I don't know why my father did this, but one night, me and my brother, evil twin Danny, was out there. And you know how kids ask questions to their father? Because you know, your father knows everything. And I guess parents want to have fun with this power. So you can tell them anything and they're going to believe you because why would my father lie to me? So I asked him one day, hey, what's the moon made out of? You're laughing, aren't you? You know where I'm going with this. And instead of giving me an honest, scientific answer, he says with confidence, well, son, that's a giant dinosaur egg. And one day it's going to hatch and eat everyone. So you better stay inside. And I believed it. All the way till college. I was like, no, not kidding, not that late. But I believed it. So you know, I used to love being outside. I used to play out. But I tell you, once I heard that, I was looking up all the time. And the day, you know, I saw the moon full. And then a few days later, I saw it only half. And I said, oh my God, it hatched. It's happening. We're going to die. And then I realized, by the grace of Mom, your father was messing with you. I forgive you today now. But I started thinking about this because I said, man, well, when God says Satan is the father of lies, it's because I think he loves to mess with God's children. And he wants to mess you up so bad with lies that oppress you. Because he knows if you will believe a lie and accept it as a truth, ultimately it would stop you from experiencing the life that Jesus wants you to experience. This is why so many people and Christians in the church alike, even though they have been set free, they're not free indeed, because you're believing a lie. You're believing all these emotions. You're believing on all your problems. You hear that you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not going to amount to anything. God can't forgive you. You're the worst of the worst. Things are never going to change. You're going to get sick and die. Your life is never going to change. Hey, stop dreaming. Stop believing. Don't forgive them. And in between freedom and being free indeed, you have anger, you have jealousy, you have fear, you have doubt, you have shame, because Satan wants to put between freedom and being free indeed oppression. So there are many Christ followers who have been set free by the blood of Jesus, and I give them praise for that. But then I realize that even though there are Christ followers who have been set free by the blood of Jesus, there are still Christ followers who are not free indeed, because they're choosing to live in bondage. They're choosing to live in oppression. So they don't experience joy. They don't experience laughter, because the Bible says we should laugh It's medicine to your soul. But you can't even laugh anymore. You can't have joy anymore. You don't have freedom anymore. You don't have peace anymore. And you are a Christian and you are in the house of God, but nothing else changes. And you just feel stuck. That doesn't sound like freedom to me. But understand that many of God's children could be in bondage. Let me prove this to you in Galatians 5:1. Paul speaks to this church, a church like us. And he says, first of all, it is for freedom that Christ has won. Christ sets you free. There's no doubt. There's no confusion. There's no question about that. He said, Christ has set you free. Let's give him some praise for that. He has set you free. But notice the warning now. He doesn't say, hey, Christ has set you free. That's it. You're good. He warns them. He says, now stand firm. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened. How? Again. Do not let yourselves be burdened again. Let me say that one more time because it's that good when Jesus said it. Do not let yourselves be burdened again. Here's the thing. Before Jesus, you were under burden. After Jesus, why are you still burdened? Who's at fault? Oh, it's my spouse. It's my coworker. It's my kids. It's my life. No. He said, do not let yourself. So let me put this in a way that's clear to understand. If Christ has set you free, but you're living with burden, that's your choice. It's your fault. Stop waiting for people to change, for life to change, for God to do something to say, then I'll experience the freedom. No, the Bible says you have freedom right now. And the reason you're not enjoying it and the reason you have so much burden is because you have allowed it for yourself. Do not allow yourself to be burdened again. I wonder how many burdens God has lifted you out of and you put yourself back in. God has set you free from anger and addiction and jealousy, and yet you get yourself back in there. God has set you free from oppression, and you put yourself back in there. God has set you free from fear and from doubt, and yet you put yourself back in there. See, the Bible is clear that Christ has set you free, but you can still allow yourself to be burdened. Again, am I preaching to someone this morning? Amen. Because many believers allow themselves to be in bondage. You allow yourself to live in guilt, even though Christ has forgiven you of your sins. All the devil can do is remind you of your past, but that's all it takes for you to live under shame and guilt and condemnation. God forgives you, but you can't forgive yourself. You can't get over it. Maybe someone accuses you of it. Maybe someone reminds you of it. But they don't matter because God matters and He forgets all things according to the Word of God. But you allow yourself to live in guilt. You allow yourself to live in shame. You can't forgive those choices you make. You live with those constant regrets. And you think, if I wouldn't have done that, and I wouldn't have done this, maybe my life would have been different. No, that's not true. Because God knew you before He formed you. He knew exactly the mistakes you were going to make. And He still had a plan for your life. So don't let the devil tell you that you've been counted out because of your sin or because of your past or because of your limitations. You allow yourself to live in fear. When the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but you allow it Because you begin to believe all the lies that the enemy tells you. It's never going to get better. You're not going to make it. You're not going to survive this. You allow yourself to live in constant anxiety and worry. You allow yourself to live in constant sin and lust and anger and jealousy and pride. All of these things that are separating us from being free and free indeed. There's a fine line between being free and free indeed. That's why I ask you, not if you're free, because you are in Jesus Christ. But what I want to know as your pastor, are you free indeed? Because that word indeed in the Greek means literally strong, true, and without doubt. So there's a lot of Christians that have been set free, but they're not free indeed because you're living in weakness. You're living in lies. And you're living with doubt every day of your life. That's why you come to church like it's a funeral. I've gone to funerals with more praise. Who died? Like, my life is over. Life is terrible. And you walk into church and you're like, yeah, I've been set free. But I'm going to come to church angry. I'm going to come to church jealous. I'm going to worship with fear in my mind. I'm going to listen to Pastor David but still have doubt. I'm going to listen to all of this. I'm going to have fellowship at Forward. But hey, I'm going to live in shame. Hey, but congratulations, you're in church. The devil doesn't care that you're here right now. You know what really bothers him? When you're free indeed. Because he knows he can't touch you. He knows he can't stand against you. But so many of us come to church time and time again. And you're living under bondage, even though Christ has set you free. It's for this reason. So many people are not free indeed, but living under oppression. Oppression is so real. Oppression is something that a lot of Christians think they're free from. See, the devil can't possess a child of God. Possession means complete influence of your body, your words, and your actions. That's not you. The devil knows he can't possess you, but he knows he can oppress you. Oppression is just mental, to be controlled by mental distress. The devil wants you out of your mind. Did you know that? Satan and demons have the power to mentally oppress you. And you're under the control of mental distress. Think about this. Every emotion you feel starts with a what? With a thought. Every sin you did, chose to do, started with a thought. Everything that you do in your life originated in a thought. There's so much power in how you think. Satan knows that. That's why the Bible says in Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your church. That's a test. It doesn't say that. Be transformed by the renewing of your marriage. Change husbands, change wives, you'll be fine. It doesn't say that. Be transformed by the renewing of your job. It doesn't say that. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When God says renew your mind, He wasn't saying stop thinking about it. Because let's be honest, you can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop thinking about your past. No, God possesses the power to forget. We don't. So you can't forget that mistake you made. You can't change your lustful thoughts. Seriously, I mean, you can't just, I'm not going to think about it anymore. It just won't happen that way. I'm tired of people preaching this lie that just hit the switch. Shut it off. Yeah, you shut that off until you're walking in the mall and someone comes walking by and then that switch goes back on. You're like, hey, mama. Or, hey, just switch it off, that anger you feel. I'm not going to think about what they did. And then they show up, you see their face, and what happens? The memory comes back. And you start growling. Because you can't just stop thinking about it. You can't stop thinking about your past. You can't stop thinking about sin. You can't stop thinking about anger and jealousy. You can't just stop thinking about it. Don't think of it. I can't, Pastor. I'm thinking about it right now because you told me not to think about it. Do you get how impossible it is? That's why I love that the Bible says, renew your mind. What does God teach us? Listen, it's not that you need to stop thinking about it. It's you need to change how you think about it. How many love chocolate cake? You're like, I wish I didn't, but I do. How many are on a diet right now? How many of you are ruining your diet because of a chocolate cake? Let me explain to you what happens. Especially, you gain 10 pounds when you come to forward. Amen? Especially in the fall and the winter. We have Christmas, we have Thanksgiving, we have all these things happening. Whatever you worked off for the summer comes back in the winter. You're like a hibernating bear. You just stock up. But think about this. You're on a diet, you're trying to work hard, and you're trying not to think about food, and all of a sudden, there it is. It's Wednesday night Bible study, it's someone's birthday, we always bring them a cake. There it is. Temptation in the church. Now you have a choice. You look at that cake, and your mind says, I love that doughboy. That looks so good. Oh my gosh, just a piece. It won't bar me. And you're just thinking about how good it's going to be. Now, if you look at that same cake, but renew your mind and say it looks good, but it's loaded with sugar and preservatives. It's going to mess me up in my health and my body. It's just not worth it right now. I'm doing so good. And you start hating on that cake. You hate on that cake. And you change your thoughts about it. Say, not today, cake. Not today. We should sing that one. And your mind begins to change. You could overcome it. You ever look at someone you just don't like? You just don't like them. No, liar. You can't say because they're probably next to you. Here's what happens. You look at them, and what do you focus on? The negative. That's the only reason we have anger in our lives today and jealousy today. You look at someone, you look at them. They think they're all special. I can't believe, look at what they're doing. Look at the wrong. That's why there's so much misery in churches and marriages and in families and any other thing that needs relationships. Because all you seem to think about is the wrong. You're critical of the negative. You're critical of the fault. But if you will renew your mind and begin to declare and focus on the positive of that person, there isn't any. That's how negative you are. There is, you just don't want to admit it. Begin to remember how they have been there for you. the good that they have done. And you begin to renew your thoughts, not on the wrong and the false and the negative, but you begin to renew your thoughts on the right and the positive, and you begin to change your emotions on it. That's what the Bible calls renewing your mind. If you hate your job, renew your mind about your job and be grateful that you have a job. Begin to renew your mind. Watch how you think, because how you think will determine how you live. And Satan knows this to be true. So he needs to oppress your thoughts to get you to a condition of bondage. So even though you have been set free, you're not free indeed, because your mindset, there's anger and there's jealousy and there's doubt and there's fear and there's shame. So that's why in between all of this, you can experience the indeed freedom of Christ. So you're saved. Praise God. You're on your way to heaven, but you're miserable here on earth. And God doesn't just want you to die to be happy. He says you can be happy right now until you die and even get happier. Look at you like, yeah, yeah. Are you free? Are you free indeed? You want to know what? Can I get real with you? You guys remind me of this girl. Our children named her Snowflake. Snowflake has a story. You know that Snowflake comes from a special kind of pet shop in Hialeah. You know what I'm talking about? All the Cubans know. Like, oh yeah. It's a special pet shop that has animals for sacrifice. You might see them every street corner in Hialeah. Just a dead bird. It's not coincidence. It's murder. And it's sad. So we purchased Snowflake. And now she's free. But she's not free indeed. Because you notice that the cage is open. But she's still in there. That's what you guys remind me of. Christ has set you free. She's there by choice now. If you're angry today, if you're depressed today, if you're anxious today, if you're living in fear today, I'm going to give it to you straight. It's your doing. It's your choice. It's your fault. Because Jesus looks at you and said, I don't know why you're in there. I set you free a long time ago. This is you. This is my church. How I see it. Jesus has set us free as a church. But you're still there in your little cage. And even though you're free, Snowflake, you're right now you can get out. I think Snowflake has been there so long, she's got comfortable with it. It's amazing how many of you get comfortable with your anger so you no longer pray over it. It's amazing how comfortable you get with fear and you accept it as normal. I'm just a fearful person. I just struggle with anxiety. That's not normal. No, I struggle with shame. Why? Don't you understand that Christ has set you free? But you're not free indeed because you're making the conscious decision to stay in your bondage. It angers me. I have this righteous anger that the devil does this to my church. That you come here every Sunday and you're in the house of God. But you're still in bondage. Come on, Snowflake. She'll stay there. She'll probably die there. Because she has convinced herself it's always been this way. That's you today. You're saying, Pastor, how do I get out of this cage? It's open. But nothing's changed. I'm still stuck. Still in the same cage, year after year, Sunday after Sunday, you're still in bondage. Is this you this morning? You're free, but you're not free indeed because you have a mental oppression that's keeping you from being free indeed. What's the point of being free if you're not going to be free indeed? I want to be free indeed. I want to have this assurance. I don't just want to die, go to heaven, and realize the cage was open for me my entire life. I just chose to stay in bondage. You can be set free and be free indeed today. But it's your choice. That's why the Bible says, do not allow yourself to be burdened again. I kind of feel sorry for all the snowflakes at Forward. Because you come here week after week, Bible study after Bible study, sermon after sermon, event after event. But you're tired of the cage that you're in. You're tired of being free but have anger. You're tired of being free but struggling with shame. You're tired of being free but really harboring jealousy and resentment. Oh yeah, you're free, but you live in constant fear. You're still there. It's not going to change. Because once a bird has been kept in a cage long enough, it accepts it. And once you've been in this long enough, you accept it. Some of you have accepted your addictions. Some of you have accepted your past. Some of you have accepted fear and anger. So yeah, the cage is open, but you're still in it. That's the church today. That's you right now. It saddens me to see snowflake like this. And let me tell you, I guarantee it saddens God to see His children like this. Because God says, my Son died on the cross to set you free. But you're still choosing to live in what I set you free from. You're still choosing to go back to it. You've accepted it. And that's not how God wants you to live. So I want you to think about this. The Bible talks about three levels of oppression that the children of God can suffer. Number one, you have to understand these two terms I'm about to explain to you. Conditional and positional. Say it with me, conditional and positional. Tell it to your neighbor, conditional and positional. Huge difference. Huge. Conditional is the condition you are. It is what it is. That is conditional. Positional is when you've taken possession of it. You have possession over it. You stand in position over it. Let me explain to you through the Bible. Number one is called conditional faith. That's a huge oppression. Conditional faith is faith that's demonstrated only if the conditions are right. Only if life is good and my bills are paid and I got myself a boyfriend and life is easy and my kids are behaving and I have a promotion and as long as my life is good, then I'm good with God and I have faith. So the truth is that a lot of people just have this idea that if my conditions are right, then I'll have faith. That's what the devil wants. Let me explain this to you. Because you remember the Israelites when they were in bondage in Egypt? Like, yes. Did God not set them free from Egypt? But the first generation, did they take possession of the promised land? So were they really free? They were free, but not free indeed. Because even though God has set them free from Egypt, the Bible says Egypt never left them. In the desert, they were still complaining, they were still murmuring, they were still fault-finding and negative and critical, and they never took possession of the promise of God. So even though they were free, conditionally they were free, positionally they never got to the promised land. How many want to live like that? But that's what happens when, number one, you're living with conditional faith. You're happy and you have joy only because life is good. But if life is bad, I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to question God. I'm going to drift away from the Lord. And if life is good again, I'll come back to God. Number two, it's found in Mark chapter 9, verse 21. There's a guy there whose son had an evil spirit. And the Bible says that Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has it been like this? I love that question because God cares about the duration of your problems. You know, how long have you been this way? I wonder how long have you been in the condition that you're in? And he says, from childhood. You'll be surprised how many of us carry burdens from our childhood. And he says it's often throwing him into the fire, into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, do you talk that way to God? But if you can do it? But what? Jesus is like, what? If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can. Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Don't you hate people like this? Just make no sense. He said, hey Jesus, I believe. But can you help my unbelief? I'm thinking, what do you believe then? Do you believe or don't you? Yeah, I believe, but I need help with my unbelief. I have faith, but I'm faithless. I believe, but I kind of struggle with believing. And I realized he wasn't crazy. This guy represents us. See, the second one, the second stage of oppression is personal doubt. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, how many believe in Christ? How many believe in Jesus? How many believe He died and rose again? How many believe that He's able to heal right now? Show me your hand. You believe that God can heal? All right, show me your hands if you believe God can provide. Show me your hands if God can do the impossible. See, all the hands are, you all believe that. Now, here's a big difference though. You may believe that about God, but you may not believe it personally for yourself. See, you say, well, I believe God heals, but I struggle believing that He can heal me. Well, I believe God is a provider. Hallelujah. I believe He's a provider, but I seriously doubt personally He can provide for me. Oh, I believe God forgives, but I have a hard time believing He can forgive me. It goes personal. The devil loves that. You believe in God. That's the condition, but you don't possess it because you have personal doubt. Well, I believe God can do anything for anyone, but I don't think He really can do it for me. And I wonder how many people at Forward have personal doubt in their life. That's why you stay stuck in your freedom. Isn't that a weird thing to say in church? You're stuck in freedom. But you're free, but you're not free indeed. And I'll close with this third one. Because maybe you're number one. Maybe you're saying, I have conditional faith. That's why you're under this oppression. Because faith is believing in what you can't see. That's what faith is. And if you have a conditional faith, if you're a conditional person and you tell God, I have to see it to believe it, then what happens when you don't see it? You don't believe it. And when you don't believe it, you have doubt, question, fear, anxiety, anger. You might be the second person to say, Pastor, I have personal doubt. I believe in God, but I don't believe personally He can help me. I don't believe personally He can provide. I don't believe personally He can heal me. I believe He's a healer. I believe He's a provider. I believe He's a way maker. But I personally don't believe He can make a way for me, heal me, or provide for me. And that's why you're living in this bondage. And the reason that this guy felt this way is because the devil had whooped him so good. Since childhood, he's been on this kid. So like Snowflake, this guy is telling Jesus, I've been in this cage for a long time. So a lot of you have personal doubt because the devil has just done a great number on you for years. So it's hard to believe personally that God can do something now. It's hard to believe personally that God can deliver you now because you've been in a certain cage for far too long. Some of you have a cage since childhood. And that's why it's hard for you to hear this word, because you say, I've been this way for 30 plus years. Why would anything change now? You're saying, what's the third one? The third one is the worst kind. The third one is one I'm convinced that a lot of snowflakes have in the church. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. On the Sabbath day, this is the day of the Lord, which we call today Sunday. Just keep that in mind. Jesus was teaching. You know, you're doing this right now. It's the day of the Lord. You're in the house of God. You're listening to a teaching. So relate to this woman right now. On the Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. There it is again. By a spirit for 18 years. 18 years in this cage is enough to convince me that things were never going to change. 18 years. Notice the position that the Spirit had her in. She was bent over. Why? Because in the Bible, being bent over was a sign of shame and defeat. So what the Spirit wanted to do in this woman was, you go ahead and you wake up for church on Sunday. You go ahead and you go listen to the teaching. You go and you worship. But when you go in there, I want you to be down all the time. I want you to feel shame all the time. And I want you to know that you've been defeated. Do you know how many people come to church like this woman? How many people come to church defeated? Down? Hopeless? For 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. At all. It's not that she would not, she could not. And it's not that you don't want to change. Some of you say, I can't change. And I agree with you. It's not that I don't want to be healed, I can't be healed. It's not that I can't stop doing this, I can't stop doing this. I just can't. Tell God right now what you can't do. I just can't straighten up. People might tell you, straighten up. You say, I can't. Look at the next verse. When Jesus saw her, He called her forward. Do you know this is why I named this church Forward, by the way? Because the Lord was calling me to start a church for people that needed to straighten up. Called her forward and said to her, woman, don't ever talk like that. It's Jesus. Woman, you are set free. I love it because in the Greek, that word, you've been set free, means to loosen up what was tight. And can I tell you, there's a lot of uptight people in this church. And those that are mad at me now for saying that, you're the one. Loosen up. Tell your neighbor, loosen up already. Loosen up. You are set free, girl. Loosen up. You're walking a forward all uptight all the time. Oh, my life is terrible. People are so bad. And you're all hunched over. Hey, but I'm in church. Glory to God. And God looks at this woman and says, woman, loosen up. I feel like God is telling this church, you're too uptight. Loosen up. Stand up and loosen up. And say, listen, I'm tired of being uptight. I'm tired of the devil bringing me down. I'm tired of years of being in this cage and going to the house of God and being all uptight. It's weird when you are a child of God, but you're an uptight child. There's a lot of uptight Christians. You got to loosen up already. You're in church, loosen up. Go back to that verse. Did you know this woman was free, but she wasn't free indeed? Let me show you. He said, woman, loosen up. You're set free. There's a timeline here, milliseconds. You have to understand. He said, you're free. Look at the verse after. Verse 13, the Bible says, what? Then he put his hands on her. In other words, he proclaimed the condition, but she hadn't taken possession. Then he put his hand on her. See, I believe some of you need that touch of God again in your life. Because you're uptight. And God's looking at you right now and he's saying, you need to straighten up. And you need to praise God. Immediately, she straightened up. And she praised God. Let me tell you what this third spirit of oppression does to the children of God. For 18 years, she went to the house of God, but it was a struggle. Wasn't easy. It was 18 years, so she wasn't always like this. So that means that there was a time she went to the house of God and it was fine. It was great. The third spirit of oppression, you know you have it. It's simple. When coming to church becomes a struggle, you are oppressed. If worshiping God has been a struggle lately, if it's not the same as it used to be, y'all know what I'm talking about. It could be that the devil is trying to get you down. I love it because it was a struggle, but she still came. I love people that say, Pastor, it's a struggle to hear you preach. It's a struggle to pray. It's a struggle to worship, but I'm still there. God bless you. Because she could have stayed home and said, what's the point? It's too hard. And sometimes in our Christian walk, it's not easy to come to church. It's not easy to praise God. It's not always going to be easy. But she didn't know that that day was going to come, that the Lord was going to loosen her up. And she would be set free. And then she became free indeed. So I want to know this morning, if you're free, praise God. But maybe you're not free indeed. Because in your life you have anger that God says, I want to remove from your life. Maybe you have jealousy that God says, I want to take that away. God says it's not normal to be free but live in fear. If you're free but you live with doubt, you'll never have joy. Oh, you're free but you're still reminded of your past and your shame. But the only thing that God wants to do is remove the hindrance of oppression that's keeping you from being free indeed. So just because you're a Christian and you're saved, let me tell you, you can be living with so much oppression. Like Snowflake here.
And I know that in my spirit, there's a lot of you that say, Pastor, I'm in a cage. I'm a child of God, but I struggle. I'm a child of God, but it's a struggle to do the things of God. I'm a child of God, but I have anger, I have doubt, I have depression, I have issues. I am not free indeed. I'm in my cage. I know I've been set free, but I'm choosing to still live and stay in this bondage. And I pray in the name of Jesus today, if you're in the house of God, but you're uptight, if you're in the house of God, but you're being oppressed, if you're in the house of God, but you've lost your joy, you've lost your peace, you've lost the freedom, and you're not free indeed. There's a reason that God has brought you to forward. Because He wants you to step up and come forward and straighten up already. Because you've been in this cage for far too long. Don't accept it. That it's never going to change. But proclaim it that you will be free, and not just free, but you're going to be free indeed. And you will stand in the truth of a renewed mind in the Word of God. So let me pray for you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Be honest with God. Because I love how the second guy said to Jesus, I have a hard time believing personally in you. Jesus never got mad. Jesus didn't cast him away. I think God is honored when we tell Him the truth of who we are and what we feel. If you're in a cage this morning, Christ wants to set you free. Because it is not acceptable for a child of God to not be free indeed. Your condition is free. But are you possessing it? Because if you only have conditional freedom, it's going to mess up your life. But if you have conditional freedom with positional freedom, that's going to change your life forever. So if you're tired of your cage, stand up to your feet. Say, Pastor, I have a cage I need to get out of. You stand up right now. I want to pray over you. There's no shame in this church. Come on, church. You stand up, whatever it is. There's no shame in standing up. And I think we all should stand. Because we all have a little cage somewhere hidden in our hearts. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one is looking around. I seriously want to pray with you. But I want you right now in your own words, your own way, right now to pray to God. He's listening. And you tell God right now what you're so uptight about. Tell God what cage you're in. Why aren't you free indeed? Why are you in bondage? What is it that has you in bondage? Is it fear? Is it lust? Is it anger? Is it depression? You tell the Lord right now, Heavenly Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you touch the men and the women here that are free, but not free indeed. That you would touch the men, God, and the women who live life depressed and angry, saddened, and down. Men and women like the woman who comes to the house of God for 18 years but still lives in bondage to Satan. Whoever that is, the Lord is touching you right now. For the man that says, I believe but I need help with my unbelief, because right now you believe in God but you don't believe in God personally. But you don't believe that personally God can do something in your life. If you've given up, this is for you too. Lord, I pray that you touch him and you touch her right now. For those whose lives have been hurt, wounded, and betrayed,
Father, we know the cage is open and it's our choice to fly out. So give us the strength to come out of this cage once and for all, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray, Jesus, that you will give us the strength and the power to overcome the lies of the enemy and help us, Lord, to be free indeed. Not to live in bondage any longer. But loosen us now, God, from the oppression of the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. I want you to give God a shout of praise this morning. If you've been free and set free indeed.